The word that's been on my mind as I've thought about church life recently is weighty. Scriptures speak about a weight of glory. And things have felt heavy around here. Not crushing, but weighty and rich. And just thankful that we can come to God's word now in the context of the heavy presence of God. Thank you, Derek, for leading us in worship this morning. I want to commend the pre-church prayer meeting to you. If you can make it, 10 a.m., we meet in the lounge just for 20 minutes or so. Come even if you're late a little bit, like I was this morning. We were praying in that time for a sharpness to God's word and a sharpness of hearing in us, conscious that... you know, when we come to church, there is definitely an aspect of routine in that. Come at the same time every week, and let's be honest, our services look similar week by week, and that can lead us to a place of sometimes passivity in terms of how we engage here. I don't think that's the case today, which is precious, but I just now pray in Jesus' name for a sharpness of hearing, that God's word would cut to the heart of what we need to hear. As his people. Amen. We really need one another just now, don't we? We need one another. This is an important time for us as a church. There are so many needs among us. Mentioned you're going to hear about another, at least one of those tonight, but I think in the last week, I'm aware of at least four new struggles across different families in our church. On top of the profound challenges that we've all been very aware of in these recent weeks and months. And that is, of course, to say nothing of the issues that you are struggling with in the quiet of your heart, alone perhaps, or maybe amongst one or two in your family that maybe hardly anyone else knows about, that you've been dealing with perhaps for years. I met up with one of our church family over the summer. It was my sort of first substantive conversation, and I heard a little bit of that person's story, and I could not believe the depth of hardship that they had faced over many, many years. And we'd exchanged a few, hi, how you doing, and hugs on a Sunday. I'm just hearing this story and just amazed to consider the depth of struggle and pain and suffering that that person had been dealing with. How we need each other. We need one another. But that is not an altogether popular opinion in our society, in our culture. In May of 2013, Anglican priest Giles Fraser, I don't know what you think of Giles Fraser, he's not everyone's cup of tea, but in May of 2013, in his Guardian article about assisted dying, he picked up on the fact that us needing one another is not always a popular opinion in our society. And he picked up on that writing of how acute moments of need within families are, quote, a threat to our cherished sense of personal autonomy. This is where the liberal model of individual self-determination breaks down. For it is when we are this vulnerable that we have little choice but to allow ourselves to be loved and looked after. In such times, we break with the idea of René Descartes' pernicious, I think, therefore I am. Fraser goes on, no, we are not brains in vats. We are not solitary, self-defining, intellectual identities who form temporary alliances with each other for short-term mutual advantage. My existence is fundamentally bound up with yours. Of course I will clean you up. Of course I will hold your hand in the long hours of the night. Shut up about being a burden. I love you. This is what it means to love you. Surely there is something extraordinarily beautiful about all of this. The article makes clear in a number of ways this is not easy. Certainly what he's speaking of is not always pretty. But Giles Fraser is arguing that part of what it means to be human is that we give and especially that we receive help in our times of need. And dear friends, we should see this in our relationships in Jesus' church. This sort of deep interconnectedness and deep and profound interdependence. We should see this. And there are a number of places that we read about this in the New Testament. And I think I'd like us to read together probably the most famous passage on this in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I think the words will come on the screen. It's good to follow along. Just encourage you, if you can, find an app or a Bible and kind of read along. But we're going to read from verse 12 of Paul's, the 12th chapter in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. This is God's word. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Do you hear that in the body? The eye cannot say this. I mean, how prone we are sometimes to say that. I don't need you. And yet, Jesus, in his word, is saying through Paul, you cannot say that in this body. Verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. What an incredibly beautiful passage of Scripture. If Matthew could put the image up here, we see some of these things that Paul is addressing in this beautiful passage, that there is one body together, but that we are each individual parts of that. There is incredible variety of purpose, variety of appearance. There is this God-arranged, God-composed beauty where the weak and the weak are seen as precious and important, and perhaps those who would appear to be unseemly or awkward are honored and cherished. There is this profound interconnectedness and interdependence where need is shared with one another and is embraced from others, and where care is shared and embraced, so that if one person suffers, then all do. We've I think felt some of that among us in these days, haven't we? And if one person is honored, that we all rejoice. And Paul says in this letter to the church in Corinth, this is who you are. And we'll just leave that up there for a little minute that you can just reflect on it. Paul says to the church in Corinth, this is who you are. Now that's incredible. It's incredible that Paul would say such a thing. If you remember what this church was like, maybe track back a few months to when we went through 1 Corinthians 1 to 7. I mean, this is not just in this passage a general overview of the universal church. Paul grounds it right there in verse 27, so we know that he means to apply it to this very troubled church. Now you, Corinthians, are the body of Christ, and even not just that in some vague sense, but you are individually members of it. This is who you are, church in Corinth, Paul is saying. And this church was such a mess. There's great encouragement for us here in this. Huge division in the church in Corinth. Confusion over which leaders to follow and which to ignore. Incredible jealousy among the church family there. They were suing one another. There was vile behavior of all sorts that Paul calls out in some detail. And just the chapter before, Paul has been writing of them how even when they're sharing communion together, people would get drunk on the wine. And even though there were people outside who had no food enough to eat and fill their stomach, they were gorging themselves when they came to remember Jesus' body given and his blood shed. I mean, remarkable. And God is not ignoring or condoning any of that. Indeed, this letter exists in large part to correct that sort of horrible, heinous hypocrisy that the church in Corinth had grown to accept and to adapt to. But even against this backdrop of terrible mess, God here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he wants the Corinthians to know what the church is meant to be. And he paints this beautiful picture of what the church is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, it goes on to speak of the beauty of love. And then the exhortation comes at the start of chapter 14. Having considered what the church is, having considered what love truly is, Paul then says, pursue love. Pursue this love. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. That is, Paul is saying, chapter 12, know who you are. Chapter 13, this is how you get there. Now become who you are. Become who you are. This is so often the way the New Testament speaks of behavioral change. How are we to develop and grow in our Christ-likeness? Well, it's to understand this is who you are by God's grace as a gift of God. You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. God has done that. Know that. Cherish it. Hold on to it. Soak in it every day. Remind yourself who you are, that you are no longer, for me, Martin Clark, but I am Martin Clark in Christ Jesus. Remind yourself of that every single day. And then know that God's power is yours, that there are spiritual gifts, that God has gifted us of his presence and his power to bring about change in our hearts, and that there's the love of God that we can soak in and rest in. So become who you are. Become who you are. So we come back to 1 Corinthians 12 in this beautiful picture. And we, Hillview Community Church, say, messed up just like the Corinthian church was, we say, this is who we are. And now, may God help us. May we, in his strength, in his love, may we become who we truly are. May we pursue love and earnestly seek the empowering of his Spirit so that we see this more and more come to pass. We together are the body of Christ as presented here in 1 Corinthians 12. And we are individually members of that body. Members of the body of Christ. Church membership. What does it mean to be a member of this body? In the coming weeks, we're going to do a little mini series on what it means to be part of this church family, what church membership is all about, and we're going to consider each of the six promises, commitments that we try and make to one another. You can see them on the back of your notice sheet. We're just going to take a week on each of those and see where do we find these in the scriptures. We're thinking about who are we together? What is it that holds us together? Not thinking about, is it worth me attending this church? But rather, am I yet fully engaged as a living, breathing, vital part of this church? That's what we're thinking about. Last weekend was our church anniversary weekend. International Baptist Church became Hillview Community Church on Saturday the 3rd of September 2011. 7 years old we are. We have a few to catch up on Ellen, right? But that's who we are. We're 7 years old as of last weekend. Of course, our history and heritage goes back a lot further than that. But Hillview, 7 years ago. One of the hopes of the replant was that we could recapture something of the beauty and the wonder of what it means to be a member of Jesus' church. At some point in the years running up to 2011, something had been lost in terms of meaningful engagement from church members in the life of the church. Of course, I'm speaking in generalities here. On the 23rd of January 2011, so some 6 months before, some 8 months before we relaunched, a document was given to the church making the case for the need for the replant. And I looked over it this week, and it's very, very difficult reading. And of course, it mentions and it celebrates the wonderful way that God had used International Baptist Church over so many years in so many ways. But then the document really was designed to acknowledge the very tough moment that the church had been in and indeed was at that point. And the document goes through every single area of the church's life, highlighting the critical need that there was at that time. So, from day one of Hillview Community Church, this body has sought to lift up the wonderful reality of what church membership does and can mean. What church membership does mean in that the New Testament does present this beautiful picture of what it means to be part of Jesus' church, and indeed to lift up what church membership can mean in that we are acknowledging that we are a work in progress. We are a million miles from the sort of beautiful picture that Paul and the rest of the scriptures display as to what the church is, that we are seeking to become who we are. So, on the church website, I think the text is the same as it was those 7 years ago, it says this, and it says something similar in the back of your notice sheet. Church membership is about relationship. It's not about a name on a list or a vote at a meeting or a detached and empty assurance that you're in. Membership is about relationship with God and with our brothers and sister, a profound interconnectedness, seeking God together, serving and growing together, sharing pain and joy together. At Hillview and Kintore, we did add that in. At Hillview and Kintore, we want to embrace this as a precious and beautiful reality. And then it goes on to list those six commitments that we're going to explore in the coming weeks. Dear friends, this is so vitally important that we get this right, and that we continually come back to this time and again. Who are we as Hillview and Kintore Community Church? What is it that marks us out as this particular community of faith? It's worth us considering that. And we pray that we will come now to think about this in these coming weeks with humility, not looking around at others, at their shortcomings that they have in terms of how we fall short of matching up to this beautiful picture, but we come with humility and self-reflection, asking for God to change us, that as we look upon His glory and the glory of His bride, that we would be changed, personally changed from one degree of glory to another. If I might just flag a few observations about life in Hillview and Kintore Community Church at this moment. These are all relevant to the promises on this membership covenant. So in the last couple of weeks, I've heard of at least 6 or 7 ministry rotas that are really struggling for numbers. There are waves of this in the church. You know, for a moment we do well, and then all of a sudden we find that we're struggling in a few areas. And literally six, I thought them through, I counted them through, 6 or 7 rotas are really struggling to find people to serve in those ministries. Are you serving as God has empowered you? At least two of our six all-age small groups are in significant need of extra attendees. Are you, to the extent you're able, gathering with your brothers and sisters beyond just a couple of hours on a Sunday? While our membership has been steadily increasing, giving to our church is at best remaining static, if not dropping a little. Are you giving to God's work here in this church? Do you believe in the things that we're chasing after? And is that seen in a tangible way? A number of one-to-one mentoring and discipleship relationships have struggled to continue in recent months. Are you gathering in that way? Are you serving your brothers and sisters in meaningful discipleship? And finally, attendance at various prayer meetings or evenings of worship and prayer, church forum gatherings, attendance at these things has been perhaps reasonable at best. Are you committed to praying with your brothers and sisters here in this church? Now, those are just a few very brief observations, and I'm very sure, very aware of the fact that every single member of this church would have very different, very valid concerns that are before them as they look around life in Hillview Community Church. But these sorts of things are worthy of consideration. We must ponder these things. What are we functionally seeing membership in connection to this church as being about? And there are these important challenges for us to consider. We must not be naive about this. We must not be careless with this. We must reflect on these six promises, which, by the way, we'll come to see are trying to group together many of the one another promises that we see across the New Testament in terms of what does it mean to be the church. We must consider these promises and say, are we engaging in this church along those lines? Worthy of consideration, important things for us to consider. And there's a solemnity to that. There's a challenge to that. And yet, in amongst some of those challenges, and as I've said, you will be aware of many others that I haven't mentioned. In amongst all of that, how much we have to give thanks to God for. Amen? Yes, we do. Is God not doing something beautiful among us here in this church family? As we acknowledge our need of one another, as we weep together, as we support one another. Someone said to me a few weeks ago after one of our Sunday gatherings, with tears in their eyes, just said, "We have something so special here, don't we?" I just thought, yes, we do. What a gift to be part of this church family. Such a work in progress we are. Yes, indeed we are. But oh, how precious to be part of the family of God, to be members of the body of Christ. Let me share with you just a few of the things that came to mind as I thought as reasons for encouragement today. There are people coming to faith among us in our church. There are people being baptized. We have a recently planted church. We have growing numbers across both family congregations. We have thrilling numbers of babies and children among us. We love the noise and the bubbling excitement of our children and young people and babies, don't we? We have membership growing as fast as it ever has in my experience of IBC and Hillview Community Church and the exposure I've had over the years to this church. We have people weeping together. People mourning together, people finding hope together. We have so many people desperate to find tangible, practical ways to serve those in need, not just crying, but saying, "How can I help? I want to help." We have wonderful work being supported financially and engaged with tangibly and learned from that is going on in all different parts of the world. We have worship gatherings that are heavy with the presence of God. I wrote that on my Word document in faith. And isn't God kind? Didn't we experience, just again, that lovely sense of his presence? I pray that we experience it still now as our worship continues, as we lay our lives before his Word. God is so kind to be among us in these precious ways each week in various moments. We have testimonies of miraculous healings that we have heard of in recent weeks. We have had incredible summer activities. There have been countless quiet acts of service that maybe only you know about, the way that someone blessed you, and no one else will hear of it apart from in the throne room of heaven. We have leaders engaging in equip. We have lay elders who, though they have so many other needs and priorities, they are pouring themselves out in servant leadership. We have connections in the local community through ministries like Mainly Music and Goalside, which was bubbling up with great new numbers again on Friday just gone, and yesterday's wonderful afternoon tea, which we hope to hear more about. We have remarkable young people and young adults growing and serving and leading us and showing us what it should look like to be followers of Jesus. And then we have freedom today to gather like this. We have space, we have wonderful facilities to come together and to pray and read God's word and minister to the local area. And on I could go. And all of this is just happening just in this little, fragile, broken, messed up family of faith, as Jesus is on the move by his Spirit, working through hands and feet and toes and ears and eyes and voices like you and me. Are you a living, breathing, working, active part of this local body of Jesus Church? We need each other. We do not exist alone. John Wesley wrote, "The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion." Jesus died not just for individuals, but for individuals that would be deeply connected together as a family, beautifully diverse. And how we are diverse in this church, I love it. Beautifully diverse, but together. Jesus' blood was shed, the language in Acts 20, verse 28, was used that his blood was shed to purchase a people. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read this: "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." We belong to Jesus, "that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Now, in terms of what this looks like, the New Testament leaves loads of room for how this is worked out practically. So different churches conceive of church membership in different ways. If you're interested in how we do, in 2013, I preached a sermon. It's on the website, where I go into some detail as to why we have chosen to organize as we have. But there is lots of freedom for that to be considered in terms of how it's worked out. But there is no question that we need one another. We're in this together. We are deeply bound up together, members of one body. Even in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians 4, it says that we're more than just members of a body, but it says that we are members one of the other, that we share in fellowship with God and that we share in each other's lives. There is a sense in which we are members of one another. As Giles Fraser writes of society in general, we, dear friends, should lead the way in showing the world this beautiful, true, redeemed humanity in which we might embrace his words when he says, "My existence is fundamentally bound up with yours. Of course I will clean you up. Of course I will hold your hand in the long hours of the night. No more talk about being a burden. I love you. This is what it means to love you. Dear friends, the good news, the gospel, is that this is how Jesus has loved us. He has given of himself for us, cleaning up our mess, taking that mess indeed upon himself in our place, holding our hand in the darkness of night, letting us share in his life as we realize that ours is but a vanishing mist, bringing beauty from ashes. This is what is ours through Jesus' death and resurrection, and we are to receive from him with grateful, humble hearts, and then we are to follow in his ways. I need you. You need me. We need one another. May we, dear friends, live well as the body of Christ in this time and in this place. May we, Jesus, love and in the power of the Spirit. Can we just bow our hearts now? And we're just going to respond. Do you know Jesus' self-giving love for you? If you do, you come in repentance and faith and put your trust in Jesus as your Savior. You pursue baptism and church membership. You share regularly in the Lord's table, reminding yourself that you are, because there is one loaf, we are one body, that we're connected together as members of the body. And then you share in Jesus' love. You give of yourself as he has given of himself to us. Father God, speak to us now by your Spirit. Either now in this time, let our hearts rejoice and be warmed by the beauty of the love that is ours as brothers and sisters together in the Church of Jesus Christ. Either in this time, assure us of that love, or perhaps and or challenge us. Show us what it means for us to connect with, if not this body, then a local expression of your church. Help us pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts that we need to see this body grow. Father, help us come in humility, perhaps in repentance, and realize the areas where we have not loved others as we should. And I just pray you'd bind us together, that we would become who we are. We love you, God. We give ourselves to you now. And we respond now in the quiet and in song. Speak to us, we pray. Show us one or two things that we take away from this time. In Jesus' name.